Finally, in my caricature of conventional Christian views of the afterlife, I'd like to raise one largely unanswered question again, and that is, how does the resurrection from the dead fit into this place? Belief in the resurrection of the dead is obviously a central facet of Christianity. The whole religion is about a guy who rose from the dead. But where does the resurrection from the dead fit into the entire eschatology, the entire afterlife equation? Our master says it this way. He says, an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life. Those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. And Paul says, there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So if the point of death, if at the point of death, a person goes to heaven or hell, the place of eternal reward or punishment, and exists there as a spiritual entity, either enjoying unending bliss or eternal torment, how does this resurrection fit into that eternal part? Are the wicked who have suffered already so long in hell put back into their bodies and then tossed back into hell? Are the righteous who have enjoyed eternal bliss for a while put back into their bodies and then tossed back into eternal bliss so that they can now enjoy it bodily? We wish that we had concrete answers to these questions when we are bereaved and suddenly these things seem very sharp. And we're wondering about our loved ones and what it's like for them and what do they experience and do they remember us and do they recognize and are they recognizable and are they aware of the passage of time or what transpires in this world after they leave it? Don't these seem like good questions? These questions, they're not really answered definitely, definitively. So I hope that, you know, this. I know this has been sort of a lampoon. This is my style. I'm sarcastic. It's a caricature of conventional popular ideas about heaven and hell. And I hope that you can see that there's some room for learning and education in this area. And maybe we can learn something around the afterlife. In the next lecture, I hope to present the traditional Jewish approach, right? And we'll see the afterlife in the eyes of the sages. Here's the thing, though. Don't get too excited, because what we're going to find is the same murkiness, the same murkiness there. And if we spend enough time in Jewish sources, we'll find numerous contradictions in Jewish views of the afterlife, total confusion about the afterlife and the Messianic era and the world to come, and they're all kind of smashed together, and nobody really seems to separate them very well. Same issues, the exact same issues. So it's the same sort of vague fuzziness. However, if we strip it back to the earliest levels, you'll see it should bring some clarification to some New Testament texts. And then we can rely on the Master and the Apostles to speak to us with authority if we understand what they're saying. As I close this first lecture, though, a few observations. First observation, notions about heaven and hell are fuzzy. We all got that. They are riddled with considerable uncertainty, a great deal of which is commonly assumed to be true, is simply an amalgam of competing traditions, some of them directly borrowed from paganism. Number two, the reason for this is that the Bible is mostly silent on the subject of the state of the dead. And some of what it does say is contradictory. The Bible rarely addresses our questions about the soul's repose after death and before the resurrection. Instead, the Bible's eschatology is more interested in the Messianic era and the world to come, neither of which are heaven. As a result, we often borrow imagery from the Messianic era and the world to come, and we put them on heaven. Okay? And number three, given the fuzziness and the uncertainty about the afterlife, it seems odd to make them the center, the central thrust, you could say, of the gospel message. The gospel often reduces to a secret pass for getting out of hell and going to heaven. And in many cases, that is the emphasis, and in some cases, the only content of church teaching. But if that's so, doesn't it seem a little odd that we would have such uncertain and sometimes half-baked ideas about the afterlife? Now we're talking about the gospel, the center. And we don't even know what we're talking about. That's bad news, and it's supposed to be the good news. So in view of all of this, yeah, okay. It makes some sense to spend some time studying, and may Hashem be pleased to grant us some illumination to our eyes, because one day we'll all step off the pier. One day we're all going to plunge into that great unknown, and then you can forget all about these lectures. You will know for certain, or not. But I believe, even now on this side of the veil, we can catch whispers from behind the curtain and glimpses, flashes of glory.